And good afternoon from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau. I'm Jennifer Pemberton. In January, Juneau's Riverbend Elementary School was forced to close and temporarily relocate. About two-thirds of the school flooded with water when two pipes burst during a cold snap. As KTOO's Bridget Dowd reports, students and staff have returned to their old building, but it's not quite the same.
For several weeks, Riverbend Elementary teachers held their classes at Chapel by the Lake, a church about 2 miles up the road from the school. There, students were seated around tables instead of desks, and they switched to indoor playtime instead of recess because the church didn't have a playground. Now kids are walking their old hallways again, but the school building is a work in progress.
All of our floors are cement, and most of the walls are drywall.
That's Riverbend Principal Elizabeth Pysel Davis.
Here in our main hall, it's all the way up to the ceiling, but in other areas, it's up to about 3 or 4 feet. And that was all of the drywall that had to be taken out because it was wet.
Just down the hall, students are filing out of a large classroom that has been turned into a temporary exercise room. Staff are calling it the Riverbend Pop-Up Fitness Studio.
We don't have a gym right now, since we can't do the typical like soccer and basketball and things like that. Students are doing yoga and calisthenics and different kinds of things in this smaller space, but it's been working really great.
Pysel Davis put out a call for yoga mats on Facebook, and now the fitness studio has plenty of padding to protect the kids from the room's cement floor. Of course, the building does have a gymnasium, but right now,
it is full of teacher things.
When the school flooded, everything that could be saved was moved to the gym.
And then when we found out we were able to come back, but we knew that we'd have to move out again at the end of the school year. You know, we didn't want to unpack all the things in the gym. In fact, we're kind of slowly adding to them and only having in our classrooms what we need right now.
They'll have to move out of classrooms again this summer because there's still work to be done, and some classrooms are still closed. Several doors have bright pink signs on them that say, "Do not enter, construction zone."
They weren't able to be restored to a place where we could open them back up again because of ongoing leaks from the roof and things not being able to be repaired before the summer.
In the classrooms that are being used, desks sit on top of temporary flooring, sheets of plywood, and large pre-cut squares of carpet. Some students have been writing opinion pieces about which building they liked learning in more, Chapel by the Lake or their partially repaired building. Third grader Alexandria Torba says she liked Riverbend a lot before it flooded.
I think I like Chapel by the Lake better because you can get more exercise because you also have to walk up a bunch of stairs and stuff.
But Torba's classmate, Edelyn Roeder, says it's good to be back.
I think it just feels comforting. I'm just kind of more used to it.
And she says at Chapel by the Lake, her class had to share a space with others.
It was a little loud having two classrooms in the same room, so it's kind of nice to have some more quiet.
Construction crews are waiting until students are out for the summer before finishing repairs on the roof, putting in carpet, and painting the walls. In Juneau, I'm Bridget Dowd.
Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson committed in December to be the headliner at the Alaska Bar Association's annual convention. That was before her nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court.
So as of right now, we're still very hopeful that she'll be able to speak and be our keynote speaker. However, we understand that her schedule may have changed quite a bit.
That's Danielle Bailey, executive director for the Lawyers Organization. Bailey says that the Bar Association is happy to find a way to make it work. Before the nomination, Bailey says the association had suggested a few topics for Jackson to speak about.
Her journey as both a mother and a judge. She also just has incredible experience, particularly with the sentencing commission that she was involved with. But I'm sure now we would love to hear about her evolution to potentially being the first Black woman justice of the Supreme Court.
If Jackson gets through the Senate confirmation process, she'll be a full member of the Supreme Court by the time the Bar Association convention begins in Anchorage on October 26th. There's a precedent for sitting justices to speak to Alaska's legal community. Bailey says that Jackson could actually be at least the 8th Supreme Court justice to speak to the Bar Association since 2001. Past justices include Stephen Breyer, Antonin Scalia, John Roberts, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and most recently, Sonia Sotomayor in 2016. 19. Generally, only members of the Bar Association can attend its events, though exceptions are possible.
I know in the past we've opened up some of our programs to those beyond our legal community, particularly when they're of such large interest like this may be, so that's something that we'll consider.
For the judge, Bailey says the speaking engagement is not a paid gig.
Often judges aren't able to accept any compensation, and so all we do is pay for flights and accommodation.
Jackson is currently one of 11 judges in the District of Columbia Circuit of the U.S. Court of Appeals. Last summer, Raven Alaska started an incentive program that customers could use to buy airline tickets, snacks, or pay baggage fees. They call it Flycoin, and now Raven CEO Rob McKinney says they're working to make the credits redeemable for cash.
It's going to be listed on cryptocurrency exchanges. So then if you wanted to, you could trade your Flycoin in for Bitcoin or for Ethereum. Or we're working on partnerships with vendors of goods and services. You'd be able to use it directly with one of them as a form of payment like people do with Apple Pay.
Each Flycoin is currently worth 2 cents, and all flights within Alaska earn 7 cents per mile in Flycoin. Those can be exchanged for things like flights or used to offset baggage fees charged by the regional airline. But eventually, McKinney says they may also be accepted by other carriers.
We are in talks with several other airlines around the world who are planning on making Flycoin also their loyalty rewards program, and then any of those airlines, it will all be interchangeable.
He says he's not sure when the rewards program will transition to cryptocurrency, but he estimates around late April. Flycoin will remain redeemable for Raven flights, the same way it works now.
If anybody that really doesn't want, you know, is afraid of the cryptocurrency aspect of it or doesn't want to use it for any of that, can use it just like it's always been and say, I want my free flight to St. Paul or to Unalaska, and I want to use my Flycoin to do that, and it'll work exactly the same.
Raven and Alaska Airlines are still finalizing their much-anticipated frequent flyer agreement. The two airlines announced that agreement back in August, but company representatives said customers likely wouldn't be able to use their Alaska Airlines miles to purchase Raven flights until sometime this year. The airlines still haven't given a firm date on when the codeshare mileage sharing agreement would return, but travelers can still earn miles when they fly with Raven. An Alaska Airlines spokesperson says their IT departments are still working on integrating the two airlines systems. In addition to strong condemnation, Alaska's U.S. senators have responded to Russian aggression against Ukraine with renewed calls to advance home state priorities that they've sought for years. Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan recently introduced a bill to ban imports of Russian seafood. Murkowski has been calling for such a ban since 2014 after Russia banned imports of American seafood.
It is absolutely unfair that Russia has unlimited access to sell its seafood in the United States, while America's fishermen and our seafood processors, particularly those in my state of Alaska, have no access to markets in Russia.
Murkowski is also calling for more oil development in Alaska. She always has. And now she's framing it in contrast to the oil that the U.S. imports from Russia.
When it comes to energy, we simply do not need U.S. dollars to be financing Russia's territorial aggressions, especially when we have everything that we need here at home.
Alaska's crude isn't processed at the same refineries as petroleum imported from Russia, but Murkowski says both Alaska and Russia are suppliers in the global oil market. Senator Sullivan has been making a similar argument that suppressing domestic energy production empowers Russia. On NPR's All Things Considered on Sunday, Sullivan also said the war in Ukraine proves the need to beef up military assets in Alaska.
The most important way you deal with Putin is not through talk, is through demonstrations of power. And that's why I've been a strong proponent of a military buildup in our Arctic. That's the one thing he understands. He understands energy. He understands military power.
Sullivan said the U.S. needs more icebreakers to counter the Russian presence in the Arctic. More icebreakers and a military expansion in the Arctic are two priorities he's pursued since taking office. Quick looking at weather this evening, it should be mostly cloudy with isolated rain and snow showers, low in the mid-30s downtown and low 30s in the valley with freezing fog possible. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with high near 40 and light winds. This is KTOO News.